Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I am frustrated. I'm tired of people hacking into my accounts, different kinds of accounts. Recently, a bank account, multiple times my Facebook account, a couple credit card situations. I've had to cancel two credit cards, two American Express credit cards. In the last 2 months, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too simplistic with my choice of passwords. I always use one of my former pets, either former or current pets, and then I'll use a four-digit code after their name. I always use a capital letter, and then why am I telling you this? Well, anyway, I'll finish, and then I use a symbol of some kind. Usually it's a dollar sign. Sometimes I will use I'll try to throw them off and use the and symbol. So I don't know what you do. I did have a code a long time, way back, probably 20 years ago when I was in the Chevy business. I had a password that I had to use to get into one of our Chevrolet ordering accounts or something. And I use that one occasionally. It's a doozy. I can pronounce it KGYCOB. It's indecipherable. I know. So maybe I ought to use that one more often. But see, now that I've disclosed it and said it on the air, you guys are going to be trying to hack into everything I got. Well, maybe not. A lot of you people understand we have an age situation here, and you may not even be computer savvy. So I'm probably safe. But there's probably some young prankster riding down the road and just accidentally landed on WJCW AM radio. But that's unlikely. You know, most of them don't listen to AM. I'd like to know how many people under the age of 30 actually listen to this radio station. Maybe they get their local news from it, sports, Bill Meade, the morning show. Or maybe they just say, hey, that Lanny Lawson guy is going to be on the radio again. Maybe you ought to listen to him. Who knows? But anyway, I'm not going to share my frustration. You do need to be careful with your information, though. We've talked about this on the radio show. You know, if you go into a dealership and you're sitting down with a salesperson at his sales desk, and let's say you've already agreed to buy a car, and so now he says, well, I'm going to have to get some credit information. What's your Social Security number? You know, I really would rather not do this out here. Could we go to a private office? I'll be glad to give you my information, but not here. Thank you very much. So I wouldn't be just shouting, well, it's 412, you know, because there could be somebody on the other side of the podium there or the next cubicle over that's writing down everything you say. How much do you make, you know, per month? Where do you work? What's your address? How much do you owe on your house? You know, is this stuff that you really want to be sharing with a total stranger, some young kid that's, you know, been out there on the lot trying to close your own monthly payments and, you know, handling it the wrong way. And then finally you just throw in the towel and say, okay, I'll buy the car. I'm tired of you. And then he starts asking you all these personal business questions. Some people don't care. They're just kind of care less about that kind of stuff. But I am not. This has been a crazy day. My brother has COVID. He's the doctor. But he's working and he feels good. He's had, you know, he's fully vaccinated and all that stuff, but he got, I guess, this new derivative. And so he's actually working from home. He told me he got tested on Friday. So this past Friday. And so on Monday, he called in and did telehealth with his patients. He had a full schedule. He's a cardiologist in Park West, near Park West Hospital there. And did telehealth for people and pretty much made all of his appointments. So they have a nurse that sits there in the office and gets on the conference call with the patient. And, you know, he talks to them. And, I mean, that would be fine with me. I'd rather do that personally than actually have to go in if I can use my FaceTime or something like that. I had a really bad case of poison ivy this week, and I did telehealth. And I could see her, but she couldn't see me. But I got me a Decadron shot, and baby, if you get poison ivy and it spreads on you, don't mess with all the lotions and all that stuff. Just call your doctor and get some Decadron. It's a steroid, and it'll stop that poison ivy in its tracks. So that's why they call this the poison ivy guru. Now, let's talk cars here for just a minute. Yeah, I was talking to my brother about some buying decisions that we're having to make. He and I like to buy cars and swap stuff around. And he has ordered a Porsche, let's see, what is it, a Cayman GTS, which is a pretty hot car, a little over 100 grand. His wife's giving him, you know what, over it. But, you know, I just say, Wendell, you're the doctor. You make all the money. Buy what you want. And so he's dealing with that. But I got a phone call from a good buddy of mine, and he's got a Mazda. I think I mentioned it on the show yesterday. He's got a Mazda that I'm buying, an RX-7 GTU from 1989. And then he's got a Porsche Boxster RS-60 is what it's called. It's a limited edition car in 2009. And I'm not buying these to keep them, folks. It's not like I'm building some kind of big collection up. I mean, I will keep cars occasionally. But, you know, it helps that I own a car dealership because I don't have to pay sales taxes. If I want to keep something, I just put a dealer tag on it. You can't do that. You got to pay sales tax. You got to take that into account. I've got a buddy that's trying to buy a 1965 Mustang Fastback. It's an A-code car, which is not the most horsepower. It's in the middle. It's a 289 V8 four-barrel car, and it's been restored, and it's exactly the same color the one he drove in high school. And he's a retired doctor, and he can afford it. But the car is on Bring a Trailer, and the car is in San Jose, California. Well, that's probably where it was built. You know, there's a Ford plant there at one time where they built Mustangs there, and one in New Jersey, and then Dearborn up in Michigan. And so, anyway, this car is on Bring a Trailer. He said, gosh, Lenny, I would love to be able to see that car. Because I looked at some of the pictures on the car for him, and I said, you know, I don't know about some of the repairs. They had some restoration photos. And I just, you know, I've never seen somebody cut a rear quarter panel like that and repair it. It just seems like they'd have to use a lot of body filler to make it look smooth and pretty again before they painted it. But anyway, I said, well, Tom, that's the guy who's wanting to buy the car. I have a guy that I've met, I guess, through this K-code purchase that I made. He was one of the owners of this Mustang 66 model that I have, and he's really nice, and guess where he lives? San Jose, California. I said, I can call him. He was a Pebble Beach presenter. He actually had a Packard that he restored and put it in the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance. I tell you what, you don't just say, hey, can I bring my car over and put it on the lawn on 18th Fairway at Pebble Beach? No, you have to be invited, and it has to be special. And you might be able to buy tickets to go see it and get near the cars. But anyway, this guy actually had one in it, and so he's going to know quality. And so I left a message for him. Hopefully he'll call me back. Maybe he'll go look at that car for my friend Tom before the auction ends. But that's one of the things that you got to do. I beat this like a dead horse, but you got to be willing to do the research and not stick your neck out there unless you're at least, I don't know, 95% sure. You know, there could be something wrong with this RX-7 that I've committed to. I sent it over to Mazda Knoxville before it comes to Greenville because I wanted a Mazda tech who's trained on RX-7s, and they have one that's been there for like 40 years, so he's trained. And I want them to inspect the car and just, you know, check it into the things that you need to be concerned about with a rotary engine. And then I want Mazda filters put on it and serviced and nice and fresh. And then this Porsche, well, you know, that's another thing. I mean, when something breaks on a Mazda or a Chevrolet or a Ford, you know, it can be expensive, but it won't break the bank usually. Porsche, Audi, BMW, Rolls-Royce, you know, those things are costly to fix. And so when they break, it's big bucks. And so I'd rather not, buy something. A pig in a poke, is that what they call it? I don't want to buy any of those. I've bought them before and regretted it. A couple Porsches, as a matter of fact. But that's where I leaped before I looked. And so that's all I'm saying, folks. If you're thinking about buying an antique car, vintage car, make sure you know what you're doing. Don't buy it because it's pretty. That's a fatal mistake. Okay, I'm going to take my first break. Be back here in just a minute. You know, I do like to buy vehicles that I can sell. I'm, you know, it's what I've done my entire career is buy and sell. It's only in my advanced old age that I have actually bought stuff and kept it, and because I like looking at it. Of course, my financial position has changed, thankfully, you know, over the last 40 years, and I couldn't afford to buy anything. Of course, cars were a lot cheaper back then. I wish I had what I have now financially back then. Oh, my goodness. Well, I probably would have bought Apple stock. That's probably a stupid comment. Oh, not supposed to say stupid. I got criticized by saying that one time on this radio show. Some school teacher called me and said, "Don't say that. Kids don't need to hear that." And I said, "Well, I didn't think I was talking to kids." "Well, I'm a school teacher." Okay, well, don't listen then. I'm sorry. You know, what I like to watch on auctions and what I pay attention to are things that I feel like I can buy at a reasonable price as a dealer and turn around and sell. Now, you know, many of you have probably done stuff like this. I mean, my wife makes quilts, and, you know, she does these T-shirt quilts and stuff, and she buys the fabric. You know, people come in and say, "I want a T-shirt quilt," and then she looks at the shirts and lays it out and does all the cuts and then puts it all together and stuff like that, and then she charges for it. And, of course, that would not be a career that I would choose. And, of course, she was a school teacher. That's not her career. This is her hobby that she does with her friend. And they have a ball, you know, probably talking about me. But anyway, they are very much in love with that kind of a business. And you may have something that you do like that, you know, that you're really good at. A lot of people do antiques. And I've got a buddy who's making, he retired, and he loves just working with exotic woods. And he makes cutting boards and plaques, and he bought a CNC machine where he can actually do, like, write script. Well, he didn't write it. I mean, the computer does, but he programs it in, and it puts the script, uses a laser, or no, it doesn't use a laser. I think it uses some really fine cutting blades to cut these messages in, and they really look good. He builds birdhouses and stuff, and that's what he does. And you know, sometimes he'll charge for them, and sometimes he doesn't. I think it's important for everybody to have something like this. My something is cars. And unfortunately, they're very expensive. But I have found that right now I'm in kind of a Porsche lane. And also, you know, I was in a Bronco mindset, but Broncos have gotten way out of reach. You know, when I bought my Ford Bronco, I have a 1970 model now. It's got 36,000 actual miles. When I bought it 8 years ago, I paid $17,000 for it. Today, I would be hesitant. Well, I wouldn't sell it, and we'll keep it for my grandson. But it's probably worth in the neighborhood of $75,000 to $85,000. That's a pretty good investment. I found a 1974 Ford Bronco with what they call the Explorer package. Yeah, that was before there was a Ford Explorer. They had an Explorer package. And it had these 1974, it was red. It was an automatic. It had 16,000 actual miles. I found that car on Craigslist back when people used to use Craigslist. And, you know, I called the guy. I was down in Georgia, and he had left his number. And I said, "Really? 1974 Bronco? It really only has 16,000 miles on?" He said, "Yes, it came from people that my parents' next-door neighbors in somewhere in Arkansas, and they just drove it to town and back, and it stayed in a barn. Well, it was a metal barn with a concrete floor." He says, "But it's got a lot of surface rust, you know, underneath, but the paint's decent." So I go all the way down. I took a trailer. I knew I was going to buy it. I pull in there, and there it is. And I get in that car, and I immediately reached for the clutch. There was no clutch. It was an automatic. So that was a bonus. But it had those really pretty plaid seats. I didn't have to do anything to the interior. It was perfect. The exterior, the paint was pretty faded, a little worse than I thought. You know, you can store something in a barn, and it still goes all to pieces. And really rusty, a lot of surface rust. Must have been a lot of humidity down there in Arkansas. But anyway, I got that thing back. I paid $16,000 for it. Sold it I did some light restoration. Sold that car three times to different people, bought it back, sold it again, bought it back, sold it the final time to a guy who is like the number 10 executive for Chick-fil-A, and he bought it. He paid me about $40,000 for it. Today, that vehicle is probably worth well in excess of $100,000, and that was just, I sold it to him probably 6 years ago. So, you know, you've got to, you've got to know your market. You got to know the kind of things that that are sell. I'm looking at something that's just blowing my mind right now. There's a 1991 Porsche 911 Carrera that's selling on Bring a Trailer right now. Now, probably 3 years ago, this is a $50,000 car. Right now, it's selling for $140,000. So this is why I'm interested in Porsches right now, because you can buy them sometimes and flip them and make some money. I've got a gentleman in Johnson City. I'm selling his on Bring a Trailer, and I think he's going to be real happy with the result. I would love to have purchased that car, but it just doesn't make sense for him to sell it to me, because I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try to make a profit on it if I sell it. So why not just let him make a profit? So he's a listener to the radio show. See, there is a benefit to listening to this show. But I'm looking at multiple Porsches. Here's a 93 model 911 Carrera 4. That's an all-wheel drive. If you see on a Carrera, it says Carrera 2, then that's two-wheel drive, just rear-wheel drive, and the engine's in the back. If it's a Carrera 4, it's all-wheel drive. They're a little bit safer, but that's a 93 model. It's already at 110,000. Well, let's see how many miles they have on it. Well, 50,000 miles. It'll probably do 120, 125. But, you know, the kind of stuff I look at is stuff that I feel like, well, that interests me and that I feel like I can buy and flip. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm not interested. I want to own it, you know. And that's a mindset. For example, I'm looking at this 1970 Shelby Mustang GT350. Now, I would be a player for that car because I'm a Ford dealer. Pretty easy to get parts for. Really interested because it's a Shelby. Now, this would be something I would probably keep. Now, it's got 23 hours to go, so it's going to sell tomorrow. And also look at, like, I read all the comments on these, because if you go through the comments on these auctions, you will learn a lot. Folks, if you're interested in old cars at all, and I know I talk about bringatrailer.com all the time, but it is so valuable. It's the best resource I've ever had in the car business for, you know, current market cars and old cars as well. So I'm looking at this 70 Shelby Mustang. It's at 72,500, but it's got 1,022 people that have clicked the watch button on that. So that's going to be a hard one to get. Here's a 350 powered 1952 Ford ramp truck. Now, I'm building a ramp truck right now, and so I'm curious to see what this thing brings. Now, right now, it's very disappointing, and but it's probably not as nice as the one that I'm building. But see, I'm watching for things that I currently have to help judge what the value is, and then also things that I may be interested in. I am interested in a C2 Corvette, which would be the from 63, which is the split window, if you remember that, all the way up to 67. I'd rather have a 63 or a 67. But here's a 66 with a 427 V8. You know, it would be more affordable than a 67 because that was the last year and they're higher, or a 63 because that was the first year of the C2. You know, those split windows were a failure. I mean, they only did it for 1 year. People couldn't see out the rear window, and they said, get rid of that. Well, they did, and now those are some of the most valuable Corvettes around. Here's a 63 split window, fuel-injected car, and it's got 2 days left, and it's already up to 91,000. So I missed the boat on those. Oh, but here's a 64 Chevrolet Corvair Monza convertible. Now, why would I be interested in that? Because I'm a Corvair guy. I have a Corvair convertible. I want to see what this thing brings. Right now, it's only up to $4,200, but it's got 2 days to go. Plenty of legs left there. So anyway, this is the kind of stuff that I look at and track. I'm also tracking this 2019 Ford GT Carbon Series. It's only got 833 miles. Guess what it's up to? It's got 8 days left on the auction. Normally, they don't have to go 8 days. They only go 8 days on high-dollar cars. The first bid was $1 million. Now, why am I watching it? Curiosity only. I am not a player for that. So anyway, I know I kind of rambled a little bit on some of this stuff, but this is I guess my main point is if you're interested in something, you start doing the research. You do not leap before you look really good, because I've seen too many people take on projects that never get finished. A guy called me today, and he said, yeah, I'm looking for an old truck. I'd like to have an old truck. old 50 models Chevrolet truck. And I said, well, he said he knew where one was sitting in a field, and he just drives by it all the time and might be interested in maybe buying it. What would it cost to restore it? And I said, don't do that. Just buy you one that's already done, because, you know, you could spend $50,000 to $100,000 restoring a vehicle right now to, you know, back to original condition. Oh no, I wouldn't do that. Well, then buy one that's already done. It's kind of like the people that build a golf course. The ones who build it go bankrupt. It's the second who buy it out of bankruptcy. Those are the ones that end up making it work because they were able to get it a whole lot cheaper. And that's kind of like buying old cars. That's what you need to do. You need to be the second guy. You know, what somebody has in a car, what they have invested in it, has nothing to do with what it's worth. You know, and a car's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. So that best lesson I ever learned. Okay, I'll be back in a minute. You know, when I went to the Gooding auction in Florida with my brother in March, I was feeling a little exuberant, and I got actually first time I've ever registered to bid, but I wanted to sit in the good seats. I was tired of sitting in the cheap seats, and if you don't register to bid, you get to sit with all the commoners, which I am, but I didn't want to sit with them. And so what do? Well, I get a $100,000 credit line with them, and this FJ62 Toyota comes across with an LS V8 engine. That's a Chevrolet V8 engine. So they put a Corvette engine basically in a 1988 FJ62, FJ Cruiser basically, Toyota Land Cruiser. And I probably paid $20,000 too much. I'm finding that out now, but I leaped before I looked. And so I got it sitting in my showroom right now here at Gateway Ford. And I'm going to sell it, but I've got it on Bring a Trailer right now. We'll see. I'll let you know what happens. I'll be honest with you, because sometimes the guru can make a mistake too. It all depends on what your mindset is when you make a big financial decision. Don't make them out of emotion, right? Use logic. Use that part of your brain. Sometimes it works. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and let's see, this is Thursday, so tomorrow's the last day of the week, and I will see you then.